Welcome to This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for February 21st through 27th, 2009. As a dozen Palestinian factions meet this week to discuss reconciliation, Israeli troops continue to attack Gaza and the West Bank. These stories and more are coming up. Stay tuned. Let's begin our weekly report with the non-violent activities in the West Bank with IMEMC's John Smith.
The residents of Bilin, near the central West Bank city of Ramallah, marched towards the wall today following Friday prayers in a protest joined by Israeli and international activists. Protesters called for national unity among Palestinians, resistance to the occupation, and condemned Israel's latest decision to demolish Palestinian homes in the Bustan neighborhood of Silwan in Jerusalem. The protest headed towards the wall which is built by Israel on Bilin's farmland. An Israeli army unit was stationed at the side of the wall and prevented the crowd from passing through the gate toward the agricultural land. The army shot tear gas canisters to disperse the crowd, causing dozens to suffer gas inhalation. Meanwhile, scores of villagers from Nilin, also near Ramallah, held their weekly protest at midday Friday. Villagers, accompanied by international and Israeli demonstrators, protested against the illegal Israeli wall being built on the village's land. Demonstrators carried banners calling for national unity and support for the Palestinians in Jerusalem. As soon as villagers and the international supporters arrived in the area where Israel is building the wall, soldiers showered them with tear gas and rubber-coated steel bullets. Four were injured by rubber-coated steel bullets and dozens received treatment for gas inhalation. For IMEMC.org, this is John Smith.
Representatives of a dozen Palestinian factions, including the rival Hamas and Fatah parties, met in Cairo on Thursday in efforts to reach reconciliation and form a unity government. Meanwhile, reports suggest a potential prisoner swap between Israel and Hamas via Egyptian mediation. IMEMC's Jessica Husley has more.
This week, following an agreement to stop mutual incitement, media campaigns, and trade release of political detainees, the rival Hamas and Fatah parties agreed in Cairo to form a unity government that could end the Israeli blockade of Gaza and an internationally enforced embargo. At a press conference on Thursday in Cairo, representatives of both parties declared that all outstanding issues should be tackled within six various committees, including a committee about the reorganization of the Palestinian Liberation Organization. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas of Fatah had earlier stated that any unity government should accept past signed peace agreements between the PLO and Israel. Mohib Salama is a spokesperson for Fatah in the West Bank.
I believe that there has been an agreement to form a committee to discuss these Hamas prisoners, that some of the detainees were actually released, and the PA and President Abu Mazen intend to release all those who have not been charged with crimes.
Yet Hamas insisted that reaching an understanding with Fatah requires concrete actions on the ground. Ismail Redwan is a spokesperson for Hamas in Gaza.
Success of such a dialogue depends primarily on whether or not Fatah actually implements what they have agreed to do, to release political detainees in the West Bank and halt incriminating media campaigns.
Meanwhile, a meeting of international donors will be held next week in the Egyptian Red Sea resort town of Sharm el-Sheikh, with hopes of rebuilding Gaza in the wake of the recent Israeli war. Also this week, Salam Fayyad stated that Gaza's reconstruction process needs at least $2 billion, and that the funds should be channeled through the Ramallah-based government. Forming a unity government as a result of underway intra-Palestinian conciliation talks in Cairo will help expedite rebuilding the war-hit Gaza. In related news, the would-be Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu asserted that any newly emerged Palestinian government should meet the conditions of the Quartet Committee, recognizing Israel, renouncing violence, and accepting past signed peace agreements with Israel. On another issue, Israeli media reports said this week that Israel will be proposing a new list of Palestinian prisoners, of those who Hamas wants to see freed, in exchange for captured Israeli soldier in Gaza, Gilad Shalit. The The report suggested that a prisoner swap deal is likely, as the gap between Hamas's list and that to be provided by Israel to Egyptian mediators has been bridged somehow. According to reports, Israel will offer a list of 220 Palestinian prisoners who, in Israel's terms, are those whose hands are stained with blood. As for a separate issue, Spain submitted an official request to Israel for the possible trial of 6 Israeli officials suspected in war crimes against Palestinians. Among those wanted for justice is Avi Dichter, who was in charge of the internal Israeli security service when Israeli warplanes bombarded the house of Hamas leader Salah Shahada in Gaza in 2002, killing Shahada and dozens more. For IAMEMC.org, this is Jessica Halsey.
Latest Israeli plans to build a new park in East Jerusalem look set to displace over 1,400 Palestinians, and residents are preparing for worst. IMEMC's Ghassan Bannoura reports.
The latest Israeli demolition plan would displace at least 1,400 Palestinians. The plan announced by Israeli media this week is to take over 88 homes in Al Bustan neighborhood, located immediately south of Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem's Old City. Some of the homes were built before 1967. According to Israeli plans registered with the Jerusalem municipality, this traditionally Palestinian neighborhood is to become a park with flowers, trees, and cafes. Khalil Attafekji, the head of the MAPS department at Orient House in Jerusalem, says this is not a new plan.
This is an old new Israeli policy, meaning it's a battle of demographics inside the city of Jerusalem, which means it's an implementation to the 2020 Jerusalem project that is minimizing the number of Palestinian residents of Jerusalem. In addition, it's an implementation of the historical annexation project Israel is trying to conclude.
The municipality of Jerusalem maintains that this area is an important cultural and historical site for the Jewish nation, as it stands on the site where King David established his kingdom. This is not the first such order. In 2005, the Israeli government issued demolition orders for each home in the area on the grounds of, quote, not having the correct license, end quote. Since then, local NGOs and homeowners, alongside with a team of engineers, have worked to meet all Israeli requirements and planning laws, yet permission has still been denied by Israel. Hassan Al-Qadi, the owner of a home in Al-Bustan, explains.
My house consists of 2 floors. It was built 140 to 150 years ago. A while ago, we had a meeting with the Israeli Interior Ministry. They told us that our planning permit was denied. A few days later, the municipality planners, along with police, came and took photos and measurements of some homes in the area. Since then, we have a protest tent here.
Since Israel occupied the city of Jerusalem in 1967, the authorities have rarely given Palestinian residents permission to build homes and deem many pre-existing structures to have been built without permission. The Israeli government has continued to build Jewish settlements in and around Jerusalem, an act which contravenes with international law. Legal avenues have so far failed to protect Palestinian residents. If this plan goes ahead, local activists state that this could be the largest displacement of Palestinians from Jerusalem by Israel since the 1967 war. For IMEMC.org, this is Ghassan Bannoura.
Two Palestinians died in Gaza this week as army attacks continue on the besieged coastal region. IMEMC's Rami Al-Mighari reports from Gaza.
A Palestinian patient died on Thursday at a Gaza hospital after the Israeli army barred him from leaving the Gaza Strip for medical treatment abroad, Palestinian medical sources in the Gaza Strip reported. The patient was identified as Hussam Hillis, 30, from the Al-Shaja'iya neighborhood east of Gaza City. He suffered from a heart disease, which the Israeli siege left Gaza hospitals unable to treat as most of their equipment are out of service and their medical stores are out of basic supplies. Hillis had all necessary papers and a transfer documents, but Israel still barred his transfer. The Ministry of Health in Gaza said that with the death of Hillis, the number of patients, including children and elderly, who have died due to the Israeli siege has reached 291. The ministry added that Hillis is the 19th patient to die in this way this month. A Palestinian teenager from the Gaza Strip was pronounced dead on Wednesday after he had sustained wounds during the recent Israeli war on the territory. Palestinian medical sources confirmed that Nabil Islim, aged 17, died in an Egyptian hospital where he was being treated for severe wounds. Sources reported that Islim was hit, along with a number of others, during an Israeli airstrike against his house, where the Hamas Interior Minister Saeed Siam was assassinated in mid-January. With the death of Islim, the Gaza death toll as a result of the last Israeli war has risen to 1,452, and the number of wounded now exceeds 6,000. At midday on Wednesday, Israeli military helicopters raided areas east of Rafah in the southern Gaza Strip. Palestinian sources stated that missiles hit open areas in Al-Salam and Al-Barazil neighborhoods in eastern Rafah city, causing damage but no injuries. Israeli military sources claimed that their army targeted underground tunnels used to smuggle weapons into Gaza. Palestinian medical sources reported on Tuesday evening that a Palestinian child was shot and wounded in her left leg by Israeli military gunfire after the Israeli army opened fire at a number of homes and orchards in Khuza'a town, east of Khan Yunis, in the southern part of the Gaza Strip. The Israeli army opened fire on a Palestinian civilian's car near the Israeli border in the central Gaza Strip on Monday. Israeli forces at the borders also opened fire on Palestinians, whom they claimed they were planting a homemade bomb nearby the Qusayfi military post. Meanwhile, Palestinian resistance groups fired homemade shells at Israeli areas near the Gaza Strip this week. Israeli sources said that all landed in open areas, causing no injuries. For IMEMC.org, this is Rami Al-Mighari.
This week, the Israeli military carried out 35 invasions across the West Bank. One teenager was killed. IMEMC's Mary Arthur has the details.
A Palestinian boy from Tuba City in the northern West Bank was killed on Thursday afternoon after an explosive device left by the Israeli army exploded near him. Doctors reported that Jamal Fakhar, 16, sustained injuries to his chest and abdomen. A metal object hit his heart, killing him instantly. Meanwhile, medics said that three other children sustained moderate wounds from the explosion. The Israeli army issued no statement regarding the incident. A Palestinian man from the village Asir al-Qibliya near the northern West Bank city of Nablus was badly beaten by the members of Israeli border guards at a military checkpoint whilst he was taking his seriously ill son to a local hospital. Khalid Abu Khalef, 38, said that after getting permission to go to Israel with his son, he was stopped at Kalandia military checkpoint north of Jerusalem and attacked with batons by the soldiers, breaking his arm. Meanwhile, this week, 42 Palestinians, including 6 children, were kidnapped during pre-dawn Israeli military invasions targeting Palestinian communities in the West Bank. During one invasion in Nablus, the Israeli forces blew up parts of a house in the old city whilst allegedly searching for weapons. The police dog they used bit a 98-year-old Palestinian civilian in the shoulder. Also in Nablus on Tuesday, at least 30 military vehicles stormed the city, searched homes and shops, with troops taking over a building which hosts Asia TV, a local station. According to its employees, soldiers forced them into a room and kept them there whilst they used the studio as a military post during the pre-dawn invasion. For IMEMC.org, this is Mary Arthur.
That's just some of the news this week in Palestine. For constant updates, please check out our website, www.imemc.org. Thank you for joining us from Occupied Bethlehem. This week's report has been brought to you by George Schmowick.